2 Samuel 23, beginning in verse 8 and going through the end of the chapter. These are God's words. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Yosheb-Besheba, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adina the Eznite because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. Yahweh brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So Yahweh brought about a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to Yahweh. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Yahweh, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of the three? Therefore he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah the Haradite, Elika the Haradite, Helez the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anathathite, Mabunai the Hushathite, Zalman the Ahahite, Maharai the Netophathite, Heleb the son of Baana the Netophathite, Ittai the son of Ribai from Gibeah of the children of Benjamin, Benaiah a Pirathonite, Hidai from the brooks of Gash, Abi Albon the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliakba the Shaalbanite of the sons of Gashan, Yonathan, Shammah the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sharar the Hararite, Eliphelet the son of Ahaspai, the son of the Maachathite, Eliam the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite, Hetzrai the Carmelite, Pa'arai the Arbite, Egal the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani the Gadite, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Be'erathite, armor-bearer of Joab, son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, and Uriah the Hittite. 37 in all. Thus far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, if we come to this passage and we miss the notes that the Holy Spirit, by the pen of the prophet, gives us, we might think that this is the list of the heroes of Israel. We would be correct, all except for one singular plural mistake. This is a list of the hero of Israel. The first three, the top three, the ones to whom even those who did even better than the 30 but didn't make it to the first three, their greatness was not in so much in for the fact that they did something no one else could do. It was that God did something that no one could do, full stop. The defeating of the 800 men, and then especially when the men of Israel had retreated in verse 9, and Eleazar, son of Dodo, fought by himself, and when the people fled from the Philistines, verse 11, and Shammah, son of Agi the Hararite, from verse 11, he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it. Verse 12, the Holy Spirit tells us, verse 10, Yahweh brought about a great victory that day. And verse 12, Yahweh brought about a great victory. And he did it through these men who stood alone. One of the things many who are grateful that the Lord has brought us out of the darkness of Roman Catholicism and the papacy and their false doctrine. One of the things that we remember is how one man stood by himself to a great extent. And in fact, on one night, the great struggle within himself was, can I really be right and everyone else wrong? And he ended up having to conclude that, as crazy as it sounded, what he was believing and what he was teaching was from the Word of God. And unless he could be shown from the Word of God otherwise, it would be safer to stand alone with the Bible and a clear conscience before God than it would be to go against his conscience. And so we see that often God uses man's impossibility to display himself as the hero. And in those moments, there are opportunities to be, as it were, a hero among men. But it's not a hero in and of ourselves. It's someone who knows that you cling to God even if no one else is standing with you. Now, you might not get to fight 800 Philistines and defend a field of lentils and so forth, but you may find yourself in situations where you have seen what seems like everyone else abandon the cause. And there may be opportunity there for the Lord to display himself as the great hero of his people. You remember the problem with Gideon's troops. It was not that he didn't have enough. It was, the Lord said, these are too many. He narrowed them down to 300 so that it would be clear that it was the Lord himself who is the hero of his people. Mightiness comes especially by resting in him. In the second place, we see not only that the Lord is the hero of his people, but that the highest thing we can do by what he gets us through surprising success and his sustaining courage and skill among his people, the highest thing that we can respond with is worship. When I was younger in not just years, but in knowledge of Scripture, and I would read these. Of course, I was a boy, so passages like this really excited me, whether it's lion-like heroes in Moab or an actual lion. And, of course, my favorite was always the spectacular Egyptian. But when I would read about the three mighty men and their retrieving the water from the well of Bethlehem, and I would think about them fighting through all of those Philistines, and then it's like martial arts film where the great champion
fights all the way in, and then he's got the water, and he has to fight all the way back out, but now he can't spill the water, because he's got to do the degree of difficulty is doubled, because he's trying to carry the water as he goes along, and they get it back to David, and he pours it out on the ground, and younger in understanding me, and I'm thinking, what a waste! I can't imagine being one of those guys who went through all of that. We get the water back to me, dumps it on the ground. Until I learned about something called a drink offering. And pouring out something before God as worship. And until my heart, you know, it's not just that you need to understand, oh, there's such a thing as a drink offering. You also need the work of the Holy Spirit on your heart to see worship as our highest and greatest end. That this was a much greater and higher use of the water than if he had drunk it. And you can hear David here saying, what these men have done is too great, merely to slake my thirst. Let's use this water to pour it out before God. A little bit of an analogy would be like if someone had gone to such lengths to get you some water, and they had originally got it for you because you were thirsty, but you knew there was a baptism coming up, the water itself is not such a big deal, but the best thing you can do with water is pour it out in a baptism, because the worship of God is the highest thing that we do. We just got done a couple hours ago, making the best use of bread that we will ever make in our time on earth, and the best use of wine that we will ever make in our time of earth. It was employed in the public worship of God that Christ would be glorified as the life of his church, and that God would be glorified as a covenant-keeping God who in everlasting love, merely because it pleased him, has brought sinners into covenant with himself through Christ. And he made that display of himself using bread and wine. Now, if we set up a bunch of homemade bread and a little wine selection on the Lord's Day afternoon buffet, and I was cheating or not on nutritional plan, which is the kinder way of saying it, as I did this afternoon, I would love all of these different kinds of homemade bread and these great wines, and we could have a great time enjoying it together. But none of that would be as glorious as the little bit of gluten-free, everything-free bread and the thimbleful of red wine that I got in the other building, because that was used for the worship of God. Worship is the highest end of everything that we may gain by God's providence, even surprising and great providence, like their ability to retrieve the water twice, well, getting through the Philistines and then getting back through the Philistines without spilling the water. So you have the Lord as the hero of Israel, the honoring of the Lord in worship as our highest end. And the fact that the Lord is the hero of Israel just makes it marvelous that we have a list here of guys from, we have their names, we have their hometowns, some of them, we have their dad's names. And one of the things that we notice is they're from all sorts of families. Many of them are not even Jews. They're not ethnically descended from Abraham. And God in his grace is willing to take for himself and use for himself all sorts of folks from all sorts of backgrounds, from all sorts of families. And then he gives us by his grace, the honor of being recognized in his kingdom. There are rewards in glory. There's surprising honor. Those who are least, invisible perhaps, to the church. Jesus says they will be the greatest. God loves to honor his people for things that he sustained them in. And the family you're from and the place you're from, whatever your background is no obstacle to that. Because it's the grace of God that gets you for him, that uses you for him and for his people, and then in his grace, he puts you on the honor roll, he gives you, he rewards you and recognizes you. there is a crown laid up, and there is a well done, my good and faithful servant in store for those who, by God's grace, are not only saved, but used. And so you have the Lord, the hero of his people. You have the honoring of the Lord by worship, the greatest thing that we can do with all that he enables us to do. You have the Lord who, in grace and mercy, even rewards his people. And then you have the Lord's forgiveness as our only hope. You know, it's interesting, the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles 11 does not end with the same guy as the one in 2 Samuel 23. We all know Uriah the Hittite, don't we? He doesn't just stand out because of the comparison between the two passages, but in the rest of the listing, everybody came in pairs. Uriah's kind of set off by himself at the end. And what's significant about Uriah? Well, he was the one that David sinned against by seducing and taking his wife in adultery. He's the one that David sinned against by having him murdered to try and cover up that adultery. And that just subtle at the end of the list, but if you're reading 2 Samuel, it's not that subtle, is it? Uriah the Hittite. You remember that David doesn't have these mighty men because of how wonderful David is. David has these mighty men because even for such a spectacular sinner as David, God has mercy and forgiveness through the blood of the sacrifices that look forward particularly to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ultimately our hope is that God forgives and uses sinners such as we are. So, exciting passage. Maybe challenging. There are, you know, I didn't read every name according to our best guess, and they're only best guesses. But the greatest thing in this passage is the Lord himself. The Lord our hero. The Lord whose worship is the highest end of everything we do. The Lord who actually not only sustains us in being used by him, but recognizes us, gives us honor, which is astonishing. And the Lord who's forgiving sinners by the blood of Jesus is ultimately all our hope. Let's pray. We thank you, our God, for the display that you made of yourself in the life and reign of David, in the way that you saved and assembled these men who started out really as an unwanted rabble, and you made into this list of mighty men. We praise you, our God, for those moments where it looks like the whole church is abandoned, and you are setting up a great display of your power. We pray that you would keep us faithful if we find ourselves alone in the field, as it were. And do as you will for the glory of your name. Only don't let us abandon, even if everyone else should. We pray that you would give us the joy of knowing that even from our own background and from our own family, yet we may be useful in your service wherever you have brought us from. And we pray, Lord, when we do find in our hearts the most horrifying of sins, or perhaps even commit them in our actions, that you'd remind us of the hope that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that comes by his atonement. We bless your name for all that you show us about yourself in this passage, and we pray that your Spirit would make us to live by the truth that we know about you. For we ask it through Jesus, in whom you have perfectly revealed yourself. Amen.